You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
God's mission from the beginning has been to go into all the world, but man's tendency is to settle. Learn more about this truth in week one of our series, All Access.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. If you're wondering who I am, my name is Martin. I'm one of the volunteer ministers here. And if you're wondering what that video was all about, yes, we are still on the Redefined series. However, we are taking a pause to give way to this annual series about missions. And just to give a disclaimer about this All Access series, we've entitled this All Access for a reason and a purpose. And if you've been with us for the past 2, 3, 4 years, you know for certain that every single time September comes in, we have this mission series. And this is to remind us as a local church on our heritage. And if we talk about heritage, just like the Spanish heritage, if we talk about our heritage, we talk about our past. We talk about why we exist as a local ministry. And in the same way that we remind ourselves of our heritage, we also remind ourselves of the calling that God has for us in every season of this ministry. And that's what we'll be talking about. And if you have been participating in giving or praying or going to the mission field for the advancement of God's kingdom or making an impact of every nation world missions, we would want to extend our gratitude for making an impact, not just locally, but also globally. And since we'll talk about missions, it is just but fitting for us to understand that missions is actually a big deal to God. And whatever is big deal to God is first and foremost of utmost importance and also a big deal to us as a movement. Locally, we are called Victory Dumaguete. And in the Philippines, we're called Victory Philippines. However, we are part of a global family of churches called Every Nation. So if Victory is our first name, Every Nation is our family name. It's a global family of churches that we are all across the globe. And our mission is just one thing. Our mission is to bring the gospel to every nation in the world, and particularly in the Asia region. If you'll think about it, we've sent different church planting missionaries to the different regions of Asia. And why Asia? If you'll think about it, Asia is one of the, how many continents in the world? 7. And if you'll think about it, though it's just one out of the 7 continents, if you'll think about it demographically, Asia consists 60% of the population of the world. That means 60% of the 7.5 billion people that are breathing in the world right now, 60% of them are Asians. So it's but fitting for us to be proud as Asians for that matter. And Asia consists of 60 nations. And believe it or not, we've already planted 48. Among all these 60 nations, 48 nations. In fact, locally in Victory Dumaguete, we've participated in 10 days mission trips. Perhaps some of you here, you've partnered someone for 10 days mission trips. Personally, I've been to Mongolia. We've sent teams to the nations of Pakistan, to the nations of India, to the nations of Myanmar, to the nations of Cambodia. And this is our heartbeat as a movement. We exist not just for the church, but we exist for the nations of the world. Because if you try to cut and dissect God's heart, it beats for the nations. And our series is called All Access. If you're wondering why it's All Access, this is actually a bold declaration. In light of the gospel, there is no closed nor restricted nation when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means the gospel has all access. Whether be it a closed nation or a restricted nation or some nations we call creative access nations, whether be it that way, the gospel can penetrate to every culture, to every race, to every tribe, to every language. The gospel has all access. And this will run for the next 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, we'll be resuming Redefined, since it will run for the next 4 weeks after that. The first week, we'll talk about the Tower of Babel, or the story, or the implications of the people who built the Tower of Babel, if you're familiar with that. And next week, we'll jump into Acts chapter 2, which talks about the significance of the Pentecost. And today, we'll talk about the first one. Our passage is found in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. And it says here, it's like a storytelling. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain bricks and bernar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said to them, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is just the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the entire earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them from all over the earth. Now, looking at the text, it is just but fitting for us to understand that the heart of God has always been to fill the earth with His glory. If you'll come to think about it in the blended things to the book of Origins, if you would want to look at how God intended things to be or how God designed things to be, you'll always look at the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. And when God created Adam and Eve, He gave them one mandate. In fact, before that, He said here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens. Jumping to verse 28, and over livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Take note, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the ground. When God created Adam and Eve, God created them in His very own likeness, in His very own image. Thereby, God bestowed His own glory into His people, both Adam and Eve. They were like good beings, perfect beings. They didn't have sin yet. And God's glory was in them, and God gave them one certain mandate. That is to go out there, multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over it. So God's original intent for us, human beings, as a whole, is to have dominion and authority over every living creature that creeps on the ground, over the abundance of the field. Everything is subject to our authority. And God's desire has always been to fill the earth. If you think about it, why not sending in animals to fill the earth? God mandated them to fill the earth. There were just two of them, Adam and Eve. Their mandate was to multiply, fill the entire earth. Why not send for something or for a piece of land? If you come to think about it, why is it that, Lord, why not send animals instead? Why not send lions to roam the earth since they're fierce and ferocious? Why not send someone else and bring your glory? Because they're not made in God's image. Man was made in the very image of God. But what happened after that? When sin came into the world, something happened. To cut the long story short, sin came into the world. We all know the story of how Adam and Eve fell. The flood was there not to annihilate, but to wipe away every single thing, every single living thing that is creeping on the ground, but spared one group of family. And this is the family of Noah. One group of family. Now, God's plan A was to fill the earth and subdue it and fill it with glory. The world was filled with people, yes, but filled with corrupt people because of sin. Sin made man corrupt to the very core. But if you think about it, now that God's plan A failed, what is His plan B? When everything is said and done, when the floods receded, God mandated Noah and his family one thing. It says here in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God said to Noah, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Does this ring a bell? If you think about it, this was the same mandate that God originally had to Adam and Eve. It was to fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. If you think about it, God's heart from the very beginning is to fill the entire earth. To fill the earth there, just for us to have a reason or a definition of it, to fill the earth means, implies that God's purpose in creation, that's us, was to fill the whole earth with His glory, to magnify and reflect back to Him the radiance of His worth in our character, actions, and our worship as we delight in Him. In other words, God's plan was to fill the earth with people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the truth of the matter is, if you'll try to look at the world right now, if you'll try to look at the office, if you'll try to look at the campus, if you'll try to look at everywhere, in Syria, in every ends of the world, there's just so much killings. There's so much hatred. There's so much genocide. There's so much suicide. There's so much homicide in all the sides in the world. There's just so much killings in the world. And Lord, this is what You want? To fill the earth with Your glory, yes, but what happens next? The world has lost its moral fiber. True enough, we are still made in God's image. The reason why man is respected among all things is because we are made in God's image. But during the fall, we lost one thing. Theologians would call this, we lost the moral image of God. The morality, the moral fiber of the world, the very sense of right and wrong, the very sense of whether or not I have to kill it or not, we lost that sense during the fall. But the good news is, in Jesus, as Christians, God is restoring us. I'm talking about Christians. The church is being restored and conformed back to the image of God every single day. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." Day by day, back to the knowledge of our Creator. The image that we lost back then is being renewed. It says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For those whom He foreknew, those whom He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many, many brothers." If you'll think about it, the reason why we're here, the reason why we exist as a church is because of the gospel. And we are grateful for that. We are grateful for what God has done into our individual lives. The gospel, my friends, is the hope of the world. The gospel is the hope of our nation. The gospel is the hope of your campus. The reason why values begin to change is because of the gospel being preached. And as a movement, as every nation, the reason why we have world missions is because we desire to see every tribe, every language, every culture, every nation transformed with the gospel. That's the reason why we have world missions. That's the reason why we have 10 days. That's the reason why we send out cross-cultural missionaries, because we want to see nations being transformed. But we have one serious problem. Going back to the text that we've read earlier, in light of what's happening, Genesis 11, chapter 1, verse 4, "Now the whole earth had one language and one and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth.'" Now, what were they planning to do? If you think about it, God's command was to fill the earth. Here comes a group of people, a pack of people, and what were they planning to do? They were saying, "Come, let us build ourselves a city for ourselves, a name for ourselves." In fact, this is quite contrary to the will of God. Why? Because the Bible says, "Let's build ourselves a city, lest we be dispersed." So there, lest there means the fear of. Let's build a city right here because we don't want God to disperse us all across the earth. This is an exact rebellion against the will of God. It's taking a halt on the actions or the plan of God for the entire human race. Of course, if you try to build a city, you don't just build a city and move out of it. The reason why they built a city is because they're planning to stay there for the rest of their lives. They were called to advance God's kingdom, but in contrast, in the contrary, they created their own tiny kingdoms. They built a city for themselves. If you think about it, the command to fill the earth was actually reiterated to Noah. And Noah reiterated to his children and reiterated it to the patriarchs, to Moses, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, down even to the lineage of the church. In fact, when Jesus mandated us, God said for us to go out there and make disciples of all nations. If God thinks about something, He thinks about it globally. If you think about things locally, I tell you, there is something that God has purposed in your life, and that is a global calling. This group of people settled where they were. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain land in Shinar and settled there. For some reason, when they migrated, because if you'll try to look at the Old Testament, there are a lot of movements happening. They don't just settle for a place. But for some reason, they found this land in Shinar. Perhaps there's abundance in the land. Perhaps there's good water. Perhaps the land was perfect for them. They settled there. You know what? Man's sinful tendency is to settle and to be comfortable. If you think about it, man's natural sin and tendency is to settle. Now, don't get me wrong. To settle is actually quite positive for some of us. To settle could mean finding a wonderful spouse who honors God in the same way as you do and settle. Or having a wonderful family, wonderful children who goes to school, or to buy a house, buy a lot, and settle here. But the thing about settling is, when we are settled, we get comfortable. When you're settled about something, you're so comfortable. That begins to be your comfort zone. But the thing about settling is that, when we settle, we're comfortable. When there is too much comfort, when we're too comfortable, we begin to miss out God's purpose in our lives. Because we remain in our comfort zone, we don't step out in faith, we begin to miss God's great global purpose in our lives. Those people, their inheritance was the entire earth. God wants them to dominate the earth, to fill the earth with His glory. But they settled for a piece of land. They settled for a tiny piece of land, thinking that they could build a city for themselves, a name for themselves there. Well, for some of us, this could translate differently. Some of us, if you're longing for a relationship, if you're single and you're longing for a relationship, and you know for a fact that God has prepared someone for you, because God is sovereign, and He knows everything. The Bible says, right from the very foundation of the world, God already knows your name. God already knows the names of your children. And if you are here and you are single and you can't wait for that glorious moment in time, and you can't wait for God to answer your prayer for a godly man or a godly wife or a godly husband, and you settle for an unbeliever? You settle for a person who does not honor God? Let's not be a people who settle for something less than God's best. If you're a career man and you want to get rich, you know what? There's a lot of things happening in social media right now. A lot of people would invite me, hey, you know what? I know things to get rich quick. There's a lot of get rich quick schemes that are happening all across social media. And you know what? They would give, oh, you know what? This is true money or whatnot. But you know what? There's a time for everything and a time to gain for anything. And if you can't wait for that because you settle for something, and you know what? Behind it, it's fraud. Behind it, it's a scam. And you know it's a scam, but since it speeds up wealth, you settle for that. Can't we believe God for Him to give us His best? Sometimes we settle for a piece of land. For some of us here, let's talk about ministry. Maybe God is calling you to be a cross-cultural missionary into a different nation other than the Philippines. Maybe God is calling you in ministry, but because you're job is paying you high and paying you well, you want to settle. I don't want to be a cross-cultural missionary. I don't want to do this for God because I am fine with my life. Sometimes, if we think that way, we are putting a halt on the mighty purposes of God in our lives. It is just but fitting for us to understand that here on earth, we are just sojourners. The thing about settling is that we stop pursuing God's call and purpose, and we become complacent, and we lose sight, and we lose the opportunity to take risks and to step out in faith. We ought to understand that in this world, we are sojourners. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. As there, we await a Savior, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here for good. If you think about settling here forever, I tell you, one day we'll die. One day we can't bring in all the wealth in the world. One day we can't bring in your reputation. One day you can't bring your job title in heaven. Think about it this way. It's like having a trip to Singapore for 5 days. Yes, you get to enjoy the beautiful city of Singapore. You enjoy the bounty of the land, and you enjoy everything that Singapore has to offer. But take note, you're not there for good. You're only there for 5 days. That's how it is in this world. We're not here forever. As early as now, as young as we are, we only have around 80 years to live, right? 80 years to live. And that 80 years could translate either to having a simple impact on your life or a global impact because you've pursued God's call in your life. Number two is that they settled to make a name for themselves. When they found a piece of land, they settled, built a city, and made a name for themselves. If you think about it, this is actually entitlement. And they were there thinking only about themselves. They didn't think about God's mandate to make his name great over the earth. They were thinking about their own names. Settling in your comfort zones is self-seeking. There would come a time, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 1, God said, my name will be great among all the nations from where the sun sets to when the sun rises. In every place, there's incense and pure offerings that's brought to me. Because my name will be great among the nations of the earth, says the Lord God Almighty. His name will be great whether we like it or not. His name will be great among the nations of the earth, and God is giving us the opportunity to take part of that. In making his name great among the nations of the earth, and to celebrate in the joy of the harvest. We can only accomplish this mission if we are outside of our comfort zones. Because at the end of the day, nothing great comes out of our comfort zones. You believe for great things? Don't settle for a piece of land. Don't settle for that piece of land in Shinar. But get out of your comfort zone and fulfill God's calling in your life. If you have a vision to see your campus change, you cannot begin to see your campus change if you stay in your comfort zone. You cannot begin to see your workplace transform in its values if you shut up, if you don't stand up for what is right. You cannot begin to see this nation change if all we do is rally all across, tear down whoever that is in government. I don't understand why people rally. Instead of blessing them, why are we cursing them? The Bible says that there is no authority on land that God did not mandate. There is no authority in place right at this very hour that God did not put into place. We ought to respect that. We ought to submit to authority, whoever that is. It's not our job to tear away people down. It's our job to bless. It's our job to speak life. It's our job to be the salt and light, to be a blessing in this nation. But God has called us to reach the nations. The entire series is all about reaching the nations. And this has been our call from the very beginning. And we understand that by reaching out one person at a time, we can impact globally if we reach out one student at a time. One person at a time, one campus at a time, one company at a time. And how do we do that? How do we make a global impact in Victory in every nation? We do it three things. We do it three ways. The first one is through prayer. We always say this. We pray, we give, we go. Praying. If you think about it, in your personal devotions, what's the content of our prayers? Is it always about ourselves? Or is it making a global impact? Our prayer could either make a global impact or stay with yourself. Sometimes we ought not to settle with our prayers. Sometimes all we have to do is to pray for the nations. When was the last time we've prayed for the nations? When was the last time we've prayed for the missionaries out there who are doing the dirty work of ministering, who are being persecuted in the nations out there? Sometimes all we have to do is to pray. Jesus even said it in Mark chapter 11, verse 17. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations'?" We are called to make an impact globally. Our prayers can make an impact globally if we deliberately pray for the nations. The second one is to give. You know what? We cannot send out missionaries if we don't give, if we don't fund them. If we are here, if we are working, and we want to make a global impact, we want to fulfill God's mandate for us, we send out missionaries. And believe it or not, we can't do that without finances. That's why we give. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The third one is going. As a local church, we send out 10-day team. We send out 10-day team to the nations of Pakistan, to Myanmar, to Mongolia, to Cambodia. And this is not just a vacation trip. This is having a vision in mind that the seeds that we have planted there would sprout and make a global impact. Because if you think about it, if you are changed, if your family is changed, you pass it on to the next generation. And you pass it on to the next and to the next generation. Imagine if we send out teams there, impacting one individual. An individual sums up to one family. A family could bring on different generations. We reach out the nations one person at a time. Everything is connected. When you pray, you are going. When you give, you are going. Why am I going if I give? A simple 1,000 pesos a month, a simple 500 a month. How can I go there? You are the sender and they are the goer. This is called partnership. Partnership in the vision. We do it together. I can't do it without this. And you take your part. I take ours. We take our part. This is how we unite as a body. This is how we work and cooperate and collaborate for the advancement of God's kingdom. We pray, global impact. We give. Those missionaries go out there, make impact to the world, make impact to different generations. We are a transient church. A transient church means that most people here don't stay here forever. Perhaps we have a lot of students here, and after 4 years, we send them out to wherever God is calling them, to any nation in the world. If you think about it, this is what we do, and this is our heart. It's not spending 4 years ministering to people just to send them out. No. We don't think locally, but we think globally. Maybe you're out there. Maybe God has plans for you in the nations of New Zealand. Maybe in Canada. Maybe in Burma. Maybe in the different parts of the world. And for some reason, you don't want to go there because you're holding on to something. You're holding on to your family. You're holding on to this career. You're holding on to your finance. You know what? Magsepangs ko dito. I don't know. But if God is opening doors for you, why not take it into consideration? Maybe God is calling you to reach out that nation. Sometimes we think about it, what can I do? What impact can I make? I can just maybe talk to one person at a time. That's what we've said. One person makes up a generation. This is how we make global impact. We are not just a local church. We are a global church. We are not just a local Christian, but we have a global platform. Going back to our story, how did God deal with their rebellion? You know what? A little rebellion goes a long way. A little rebellion here can lead to a massive rebellion in the future. If you think about it, a little cheating here may lead up to cheating your wife in the future because you've tolerated it. A little compromise here can lead up to major compromise. At first, those people only thought of seeing a good land to settle there because a good land. But they did not settle for the good land. They thought of building something for themselves. Building a tower. Halting God's plan for them. How did God deal with that? God confused their language. God confused their language. Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 to 9. Come, God said, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from everywhere on the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused their language, all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them from all over the earth. You know what? Language was a gift from God. Language used to unite people. Language was a beautiful gift until sin came. Until sin came, and the different languages in the world have become a reminder of that sin. In total, there are around 7,148 known languages in the world. And they're just so different. When we went to Mongolia, the language was so different, of course. How they say, I love you, is heart issue. Heart issue, God. Heart issue, Lord. If you think about it, it's like heart issue. So it's quite ironic, but this is how things are after what happened there. Language are just different. You know what? In Bulgaria, I haven't been there, but I just read this. A nod simply means no, and a side to side actually means yes. So you say, do you like the food? Yes, or something like that. It's opposite. In India, a head shake means a yes and a no at the same time. So if you have Indian friends, do you like the food? Yes, yes. Do you like it? No, no. It's the same. It's funny, but if you think about it, this is the consequence that happened right from Babel. In the Tower of Babel, was in Shinar, and this is present-day Iraq. And that became Babylon, actually, in present-day Iraq. It was always God's heart from the very beginning to fill the earth. And if you think about it, they were dispersed, right? They were dispersed from all across the world. That was in Genesis chapter 11. But there's a game changer a chapter after that. If you think about it, all right, God, since this is their consequence, we are all scattered in the world with different languages. Are we cursed forever? What happens now that we are corrupt in our very core? Everyone's not worshiping you. But Genesis chapter 12 is a game changer. Talks about a story of a man named Abram. And we all know him. And Abram, in Genesis chapter 12, lived in the land of Ur. This is the land, this is the greatest trading city in their time, in this location. So this gives us a picture that Abraham was rich and wealthy. It's like the Singapore of their time. It's the greatest trading city. Yet, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, but by faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham did not settle in Ur. In spite of the wonderful things that is in Ur, Abraham did not settle there. The people built a city to make a name for themselves. In contrast, Abraham believed God's promises, sought on God's promises, and called upon the name of the Lord. And in return, God's name was turned to Abraham because he will be the father of many nations. Where, if you try to trace the lineage, the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the redemption story happens. Yes, we betrayed. Yes, we rebelled. But God, that is God's plan of redemption. And we are grateful for it. God can also use you if we don't settle. God can use you outside of your comfort zone mightily to the ends of the earth.